Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministries. We're still talking about how to walk in this mighty power of God's mighty word, the anointing, if you want to call it that. Why so few walk in it? Well, we're talking about these things this week. So let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, reveal to us through your word why so few of us walk in the anointing of God. Lord, we know that just like Luke 6:40 says, no disciple can be above his master, but every disciple that does what his master did shall be like him. Everyone that's perfect shall be like his master because our master was perfect. So, Father, guide us and direct us in the Word of God as we study it today and help us, show us what we need to do, be able to walk in your power. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now then, we're going to give you an example from Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse 14, what Jesus did and the things he did, and why we can't do these kind of things, and why some can and some cannot. Well, one of the answers is right here. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, it says, When they were come to the multitudes, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Okay, now here we got a problem. These men that have been specially ordained by the Lord Jesus himself to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, they were ordained, and verse 7 and 8, they went out and did it. But here they come upon one they can't kick out. A little boy, they can't heal. And this man said he brought him to his disciples and they could not cure them. Now, a lot of times, it's got to where there's so little faith in the church today. Most people won't even bring their sick and afflicted to a preacher today for prayer. Because most of us are like I was most of my life. I never saw God do anything, so it wouldn't do any good for you to bring one to me. I couldn't pray the prayer of faith for them. But I have learned a little more about it now, and I've learned how to pray the prayer of faith, and I have seen the Lord do many mighty, wonderful things. And I'm grateful to the Lord for revealing these things to me. But when they brought him to his disciples and they could not cure him, this is what Jesus' answer was. Now, a lot of us would say here that it was not God's will to heal him. But anytime you say it's not God's will to heal someone, you need to come back to Matthew 17:17 and see what Jesus said to these men when they could not heal this boy. Then Jesus answered and said, O you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. Now, wow, it doesn't sound to me like he's too happy with his boys. If he wasn't too happy with those men that he had ordained and divinely commissioned, to cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. But yet they couldn't do it, and he was upset with them. I wonder what he would say to you and me today when he said now in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and on, and also Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, he has divinely commissioned you and me to cast out devils, to heal the sick and so forth, and we don't do a very good job of that either. So I can only imagine what the king would say to us today. Verse 18, it says, and Jesus rebuked the devil. Now, what was wrong with this boy? The devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. If the church would get a hold of the fact that this is the problem today, the devil. He's the one that makes us sick. He's the one that afflicts us. What was wrong with this boy? It said, this man said that my boy, have mercy on him because he's a lunatic and he's sore vexed, for he falls into the fire and into the water. What is it that's causing him to do that? A devil, a demon. There's only one devil, but many demons. But a demon in that boy, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. What did Jesus do to heal that boy? He rebuked the demon. He commanded that demon to leave. That's what you and I have to get in our spirits. We have to realize that when we have different things come upon us and afflict this piece of flesh that makes it do strange things. It's the devil, and he sends his demons to torment this flesh, to cause us to look like lunatics, to fall into the fire or the water, and many, many other things the devil does to us. But all these things that pertain to stealing, killing, and destroying come from our enemy, the devil. Now then, after Jesus rebuked the demon, he departed out of him, and that boy was cured. Then the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "Why could we not cast him out?" Now this should be a question for all of us. If we've been ordained and commissioned by God to cast out demons, to heal the sick, why are so few of us walking in this? Well, he's going to give us the answer here in just a minute. In verse 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." So what's wrong with us? Unbelief. "Now then, for verily I say unto you." Now, think about what Jesus is saying here. Now, I didn't say this, but Jesus is. I'm just repeating what the King says. Jesus said in verse 20 of Matthew 17, "If you have faith." Now, somebody would say, "Wait a minute now. Are you going to tell me that the reason I can't get nothing done is because I don't have any faith?" No, I'm not going to tell you that, but Jesus told you that. He told me that too. He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed." Now, that's a pretty little seed to start off with. He says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove." And he says, "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now, that's a pretty big statement. Nothing shall be impossible to you and me as sons of God if we have faith. If we have faith, nothing shall be impossible. But he says there that this kind goes not out only but by prayer and fasting. Wait a minute. We can only get rid of this unbelief, this tormenting spirit of unbelief that's moving upon us. You mean to tell me that we cannot get rid of this so we can cast out these demons unless we fast and pray? Well, these boys couldn't do it. And they asked him, why could they not cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. And then how they go? He said, if you have faith instead of unbelief, if you have faith and not unbelief, then he says, you can speak to a mountain, command it to leave, and it will obey you. And he says, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Nothing. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. But, he said, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. When's the last time that you decided to get before God and say, Lord, I am going to go without food. I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to pray and fast. And I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to expect you to talk to me and show me great and mighty things. Because you said in Jeremiah 3, you said that if we will call unto you, you will answer us. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you right now, because I've called unto you many a time, many a time. And you have spoken to me in a voice that I can hear, and you've given me many answers. And I praise you, Father, and thank you in the name of Jesus for speaking to me in that clear, authoritative voice that sounds audible to me, where that I can come to you and ask you, and you will speak to me and show me these great and mighty things. I am so grateful. Now then, we go back to Jesus' example. It says, no disciple shall be above his master. In other words, if we can't be above our master, Jesus, when he first started his ministry, what is the very first thing Jesus did? After he received the anointing, baptismal power of the Holy Spirit, that's the first thing you got to do. You got to believe that after you get born again, that there is an infilling power of the Holy Ghost to come to fill you, to give you power for service. And he says in Luke 11:13, just ask and he will give that to you. if you walk obedient to Him. Now, that's a secret. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that walk in obedience to His Word. So you have to be an obedient son or daughter of God. Then you have to ask in faith. Then He baptizes you with His power. And then after you get the baptismal power, like Jesus did, it said, then the Spirit led Him into the wilderness. There He fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights. 40 days and nights? You mean I have to fast and pray 40 days and nights? If you want to be just like Jesus, that's what you got to do. Now then, if you've never fasted and prayed at all, then chances are that's why you've never walked in very much anointing. But the first time I prayed and fasted 3 days, it increased my anointing just a little. And then the first time, 7 days, it went a little bit better. And these are water fasts only. I'm not talking about food. No food. And then after that, 14 days. Actually, 12 days. The next time I went 12 days. And then at a later time, I went 18 and a half days. Now, that's the longest fast I've ever been on. But I've never done some of the mighty things that Jesus did either. But I've seen the Lord, I should say. I've had the privilege to lay hands on people, pray for them, and see some awesome miracles take place. Awesome miracles. But if we cannot be above our Master, we have to be exactly like Him. Then if you could walk in the same power Jesus did without fasting 40 days, you would be above your Master. And the Lord says we cannot be above our Master. So you'll never be able to do the same mighty things that Jesus did until you have fasted and prayed 40 days and nights. Is that something you want to do? Most people said, absolutely not. I'm not going to fast and pray 40 days. Let me tell you this. If you start onto a fast, make sure you pray, seek God. Make sure that you know what you're doing. Now, you cannot continue to work and pray and fast for 40 days. Now, you can pray and fast for a week or two, and you can carry a full load. You can do that, but you can't go much beyond 2 weeks and pray and fast. The best thing to do is find you 40 days. Maybe work the first week or even through the second week, and then the next 4 weeks, take off and find a good place somewhere, just you and God, the Word of God. Lock yourself up with God and fast and pray through the 40 days. And as you seek Him and fast and pray, you'll be amazed at what you'll see the Lord do and the times He'll speak to you. Praise the Lord Jesus. We'll go ahead next week. Now then, if you'd like any of our audio video teachings, all you've got to do is give us a call. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. We have packages that we send out of several of our teachings, as well as our anointed music that my wife writes and sings. If you'll call us at 940-242-2106, we will send these out to you free and postpaid. And you can contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can see a list of many of our media that we'll send out free and postpaid. Praise the Lord Jesus.